Meet the two men who are experts at talking to animals, or something like that. The Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
Chatting with a chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest on the line, a returning guest. His name is John Stottle, and he is the owner of the Family Puppy Stores and the FamilyPuppy.com located in Metro Detroit. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. Always great to be with you guys.
The
time.
Hey, always a pleasure to have you. John, the reason we wanted to have you is because of the fact that this has been such an interesting year, and one of the big changes that a lot of people have noted, and I'm sure you're aware of as well, has just been the huge increase in demand for puppies in the marketplace. I'm shocked and amazed at the amount of people who have gone out of their way to do it. I was wondering if that is true with your experience as well. Are puppies becoming more and more difficult to get? And are more and more people getting them anyway?
Yeah. Let's start with the first question is, are more important people doing it? I mean, people are staying at home, and it's just a great opportunity to, I mean, a lot of people want to buy a dog, but they're just so constrained because they work, you know, workaholics and all that, and don't have the ability to train a dog and raise a dog. And now the kids are home, you know, during COVID, you know, the kids were most were home, in home learning and all of that, and they're home working from home. And I think a lot of that will stay. So, you know, adding a puppy to the family, a dog to the family, has always been a goal of many families, but now it's more of a easy task to do it, if you will. So, of course, as you said, that brings us to supply and demand. We don't have enough dogs in the United States to begin with. The number that people look for or people say is the demand is about 9 million dogs a year in the United States, and there's just not that many people raising dogs. So there is a shortage for sure, and COVID has made it even worse.
One thing that you could probably help the listeners understand better than the average, and I could probably give you a little bit better understanding of the fish market and how people get fish and where they come from and, you know, surprising information that nobody really understands or realizes. But you, for dogs, have quite a bit more knowledge than the average Joe at where dogs come from. And I'm just curious if you could help just share with people, you know, how does that 9 million puppy demand slash, you know, shortage, where does it come from?
Yeah, that's kind of until recently, the recent, you know, 10 years, we didn't really have a lot of statistics on, you know, where do dogs actually come from and who's raising the dogs. And we've always said this, there's only four sources of dogs. You can either get a dog from a show breeder, from the fancy hobby breeder, whatever you want to call them. You can get a dog from a pet store or a commercial dog or internet selling, or you can get a dog from a friend or a rescue and shelter. And the number one, of course, most dogs in the United States are acquired through rescue and shelter. I think it's more almost 50%, maybe 45% or something like that. Okay. So pet stores, you know, really only are about 3%, you know, maybe 4% of all dogs sold in the United States.
And one thing I'm thinking about, just because I've heard stories walk in the door of people that have been essentially financially taken, you know, basically sent $300 deposit, $100 deposit, the whole money, $2,000, and end up falling short financially. What's the safety factor if one wants to go out and get a dog under different pathways?
Yeah, there's some real risk out there. I mean, anybody nowadays, we order so much from Amazon or online or whatever. You know, we shop from our living room in our pajamas, and I think that's what's enticing people to buy dogs. And many puppies are purchased online, and anybody can grab a picture from anywhere and put it on a website. You can build a website for free, and you can put it out there, and I think that's the wrong way to buy a dog. I think if you're going to buy a dog, you know, don't just look at a picture. Come into the pet store or go to the breeder or go to a shelter and look at the dog, make sure it fits the lifestyle and the temperament is what you want. But to buy a dog online, just looking at a picture, maybe even a video, they might, you know, get a video going. But you don't get to feel and touch the dog. And so I really struggle with online sales, although with all the pet store bans, and we've had different segments before about that. We'll get into that. We take all day talking about it. But there are bans that say that pet stores shouldn't be able to sell dogs. I think it's wrong. I think the consumer wants to come in and feel and touch the dog, and without having to drive all over the place to different breeders, the pet store allows that freedom and that benefit of buying a puppy. So I hope that I'm never forced to just do an online sale. If the pet store bans prevail, you know, we might end up going that. But I'm resistant to that. I really want it to be a face-to-face, you know, where you get to meet the puppy and see.
Well, why don't you share with the listeners, you know, what I'm thinking about is the innocent consumer that doesn't know a whole lot about owning dogs. They walk into your shop and they're thinking about a dog. What are some of the plus values you can bring to the table by going that avenue, for instance, rather than maybe on the internet?
Yeah, we build our reputation on that. All we do is puppies. You know, many pet stores, and I used to years ago, I've been doing it since 1977, and we had everything, and we had ferrets, and a lot like your store, Rick, you know, a lot of different species. And we decided in 2004 to be dog only so that we could really get to know the breeder, get to know their standards and their protocols, help them get better at it. So we are a service provider to go and check out that breeder for them. All of our dogs come. Our goal is to get a dog within 3 or 4 hours from our store, you know, not a long travel trip. And so that's the benefit. The other benefit is we have picked out what we call family-friendly breeds. You might look at a dog picture online and say, oh, that is so cute, but you don't really know the temperament of that dog.
Sure.
And you got to do a lot of research. Well, we do that for you. We only sell what we call family-friendly breeds. I don't want to get into breed-specific language, you know, but there are some dogs that you've got to be fairly trained to be able to make that dog successful in your home, whether it be a larger breed that you can't handle or a breed that's too busy, like a border collie that doesn't do well in an apartment, you know. So we do only breeds that we feel can be successful with most homes. So that's, again, another plus to our service that we provide to, you know, our clients.
Sure. If somebody comes into your place and it's obvious that they are fitting for any of those breeds, do you have either referral businesses or is there any avenue that you send them, and in what direction do you typically send them?
You know, what we typically find is that most people come in and they ask for breeds that we don't carry, don't sell. They don't really know about the breed. So we'll try to help them to understand why we don't sell that breed. Now, for example, King Corso, you know, I'm picking a breed, and I'll get in trouble for breed, and people will be hollering, and you might get emails.
Okay.
But a King Corso is not for the average family. It's a very dominant dog that, you know, will cause problems if the family or the alpha person in the family is not disciplining and showing good leadership. So we don't think that dog will be successful. So do we send them places? I try to help them to realize what is it you want in a dog, and what is your lifestyle like, and let's find a dog that's going to fit your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, one of the things that occurs to me is that in most product categories, as demand goes up and supply goes down, the price goes up.
Yeah.
Is that what's been happening? Because I've literally heard stories of breeders charging just a lot more money, and I've got to imagine that they're not just doing it to the end user. They've got to be doing it to the middleman like you as well, but I don't know that. Is that the case?
You know, Lee, we started about 15 years ago really helping breeders raise the standard, and prices have gone up tremendously for me because I pay more for a dog that's raised in a good environment that's genetically tested and all of that. So prices have already gone up in the recent 5 to 10 years. And then COVID comes along with a shortage. And, of course, supply and demand, that's who we are in America. You know, the more you have, the lesser the price kind of goes. But the less you have, the price is going to go up because people want it. And the prices have, really doubled and tripled. It's just been amazing to see. And I think it's hurt, a lot of families from getting a dog. I do hope that price comes back down. And I think I see it happening now that people are starting to get back to work. Dog sales are slowing a little bit, and prices are starting to come down. So I'm hoping that will continue that way.
Now, one of the other changes that I've noticed that I thought was increasing prices as well is the fact that you've got so many people who are being so particular, and it's led to designer dogs and very interesting selections by people. Do you see that slowing as well?
No, I think, and my AKC friends would not want me to say this, but I think that designer dogs are there because they meet a need. The first designer dog was a Labradoodle, Golden Doodle. They wanted a big dog, wanted a big, happy, friendly dog, but they didn't like the shedding. So the designer dogs do the same thing. We're trying to find the characteristics of certain breeds, matching it up. An example would be like a Bichon Frise is a great dog, very submissive, but they're to a point that sometimes a little harder to housebreak. So we cross that with a Shih Tzu or whatever to get a little bit less submissive, if you will, and then be able to house train the dog. So there's some real benefits to doing it, some great health benefits with English Bulldogs doing some crossing there to kind of minimize the breathing problems and the hip problems that the English Bulldogs have.
I was just wondering if you could comment. Generally, as being in the industry, I've heard a substantial amount of public outcry essentially against pet stores selling dogs, right? Can you comment on that? Because when I think about the marketplace that you're in, the shortages, the tremendous amount of shortages, and the ignorance of the public, I'm trying to understand if a good retailer, a really good retailer, isn't maybe the ideal source for when one might get, and how do you make the retailers that are out there ideal sources?
Yeah, we work on that. We work not only with the breeders, but with the pet shops to make sure that they are sourcing from good breeders that have race standards. We're working now with Purdue University and doing some research on how a dog should be raised. And is it okay to raise a dog in a kennel situation rather than in somebody's living room, if you will, as a breeder? And as long as you're giving good interactive toys and a lot of socialization, and of course now, compared to what it was 10 years ago, breeders that we deal with, their kennels are amazing. And there's some of them on our website. You can see pictures of them. They're some of the best kennels that are out there. And we require them to have an exercise yard adjacent to the kennel or somewhere on property where they can get the dogs out, let them run and be a dog. And it has to be big enough to where they get up a full gate. We like to see a pack of dogs out, instead of, one or two dogs in a kennel. What it used to be years ago, the things have changed. It's just amazing in the recent 10 years how breeders have risen to the occasion, and it's really heartwarming to hear them talk about they love their dogs, they enjoy being with their dogs, and we've kind of created that atmosphere with dog breeding, and it's kind of caught on greatly across the country. And we're seeing, what you see, the bad stories about pet stores is not, I'm not saying they're not a bad pet store, they're not a bad breeder out there. There are in every market, sure, of whatever, whatever, cars or lawyers or whatever. But as a rule, the environment dogs are living in and the way we treat dogs today in breeder facilities in a breeding program is just amazing. So don't believe all that you say. And these pet store bans are there. We don't get into a lot of the what we call retail rescue. Dogs are being imported from all over the world into the United States.
and we think it's well over a million dogs a year. And we don't have a stray dog problem any longer. You know, a few years ago we did, but now we don't.
John, we want to thank you for joining us and giving us your insight. We've been speaking with John Stottle, the owner of The Family Puppy, and if you want to reach him, you can online at thefamilypuppy.com. Thank you so much. We'll talk again.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And Rick will continue the conversation right after the break on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.